We are here this morning on case 10-810, Jennifer Terry, zoning inspector of Milton Township versus Gail Caseberry et al. For the appellant, we have Mr. Pennington.
Madam Chief Justice O'Connor, may it please the court. My name is David Pennington. I'm here on behalf of the appellants. And this case presents really a very straightforward question of statutory construction. The statute under review, and for the benefit of the audience, I'll just paraphrase a little bit, but the statute under review is 519.21A, and it states, the statute states that the revised code confers no power, that is the word in the statute, no power, on any township zoning commission to prohibit the use of any land for agricultural purposes, and this is the important part, including buildings or structures that are used primarily for venting and selling wine and that are located on land, any part of which is used for viticulture. And again, for the benefit of the audience, viticulture is the cultivation and the growing of grapes, especially for wine. Now, appellants believe that
Council,
the construction.
Before you begin that, and for a little background context, this appears to be a platted subdivision, but that can have a widely different character. What is this, a platted subdivision in which they're house after house 50 feet apart, or
is this
a broader large lots and not very well developed, or how would you describe this?
There's no evidence in the record that this is a platted subdivision. This is zoned, I believe, residential by the township, and if you go out there, it's just a group of houses that's surrounded by farmland. As a matter of fact, Sperry's rent ground right across the street, it's about 90 acres or so, where they bring in this grapes for venting and selling there on the property. But the stipulations of fact do not establish that this is a platted subdivision. So in construing the statute, we would submit that the construction of this provision, 519.21A, actually begins with two other statutes, Revised Code Section 1.47 and 1.51. As you know, Chapter 1 of the Revised Code is the legislature's direction to the courts of Ohio, including this court, on how the court should interpret and apply statutes that are enacted by the legislature. And 1.47 says that in enacting a statute, it is presumed that in subsection B, that the entire statute is intended to be effective. Every word in the statute is intended to have meaning, and this court has said in its opinions that every word in a statute has meaning. It has effect, and it is to be applied by the courts, and that is important here.
But don't we have to read this in conjunction with the definition of agriculture, which says the process, dry store, market, et cetera, when it's secondary to growing crops? That seems to be the crux here.
Yes.
Is it secondary to growing crops? You seem to be maintaining it's not secondary, whereas I think the township is maintaining that you can't just grow, as they say, one grape and then be able to have the whole winery.
We're taking the position that you're talking about 519.01. That is a general definition of agriculture. And that informs but does not limit the provisions of 519.21A. You've got a general definition of agriculture, but then you have a specific statute that defines exemptions from zoning. 519.01 doesn't say anything about zoning exemptions. 519.21 is devoted to exemptions from zoning. And in that statute, the more specific statute, it says that if you are venting and selling wine on land, any part of which is devoted to viticulture, you're exempt from zoning.
How many grapevines would you need at a minimum to be engaged in viticulture?
Well, the legislature used the word any, and I take the word any to mean, and it's in our proposition of law, any means one. So one or more grapevines that are grown for the purpose of growing grapes, engaging in viticulture, is sufficient to come within the scope of this statute. Now, the legislature could have used, as it did in 519.21C, the farm market exception. And the farm market exception is actually a very good way to look at this case, because farm markets are not found in the definition of agriculture, but they are exempt from zoning as an agricultural use. And in exempting farm markets, the legislature imposed a requirement that said that 50% or more of the gross income from the farm markets had to be from the sale of produce. That other 49%, the sales, could come from any source. And so the distinction between the farm market exception and the winemaking exception in 519.21A is that in 519.21C, farm markets, the legislature imposed a numerical and objective criteria. In 519.21A, dealing with winemaking, there is no objective criteria. The legislature used the word any, and I take them at their word. And so the proposition of law states.
So if we agree with you, we have to make law, as we often say on this bench, for not just your situation, but for the whole state out of this case. And in your situation, you may have a cluster of homes and a lot of farmland. But if we end up agreeing with your proposition, any means any, including the one vine scenario, can someone grow one vine in their backyard in the middle of a dense area and have a store? Or can someone just grow some corn in their local garden in their backyard and then have a store, because it's all part of that any?
Well, the zoning exemption goes to the use of the land for viticulture, and the township has stipulated that they have no problem with growing grapes on this property. The exception from zoning doesn't go to just opening a store. It goes to the venting and selling of wine. And it was stipulated in the facts of this case that there is a separate main building that is utilized for the venting and selling of wine. So you can't just grow a grapevine and open a store and sell wine out of it. You have to have a true winemaking operation. It could be a small-scale one, as it is with the Sperry's, but it is a winemaking operation that involves both the venting and selling of wine.
And they use those grapes from those 20 vines to make wine.
Absolutely. It's a stipulation of fact that at the trial level was a 5% of the grapes of the total output of the this operation was from grapes grown on the property from those 20. And there are a lot more grapevines now, but at the time of trial there were 20.
Mr. Pennington, the reason that there were such a small amount to begin with was the other vines needed time to mature. Was that?
Yes.
I mean, it does sound like an actual operation of more than just a couple of vines being grown.
Well, and it's not just a situation of one vine grows one grape. I mean, I don't know how much you know about
winemaking,
but one vine can produce
usually
a lot of grapes.
Usually from the consumer end of
the. This is true. But so we had 20 vines, 12 were harvested. That they produced enough grapes that provided up to 5% of the total output of this winemaking operation. So for rules of statutory construction, and by the way, I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal if I'm not past my time. In addition to 1.47 that says that the entire statute has to be effective, rule of construction at Revised Code Section 1.51 says that when you're dealing with the general provision, we talked about this already, when you're dealing with a general provision that's in conflict with a more specific specific provision, as we have here, the specific provision prevails. And here we have a general definition of agriculture, a specific statute dealing with the zoning exemptions, and it's our position that the exemption, the zoning exemption statute, which is the more specific, prevails. Now, if you read the opinion in this case, you'll know that there was a dissenting opinion, and we urge this court to adopt both the reasoning and the rules of construction applied by the dissent in that case. The dissent, in reaching its conclusion, applied three fundamental rules of statutory construction. The first is that the legislative intent is paramount, and I think that's obvious. But the second, which is really at the heart of this case, is that discerning legislative intent begins with the plain language of the statute. If the statute is clear, even if in the opinion of Milton Township it doesn't make a lot of sense to them, if the statute is clear, it gets applied. not construed. And that is appellant's position. If you look at the trial court decision and even parts of the Court of Appeals decision, you see that there was discussion about legislative intent. But appellant's problem with that discussion and the opinions is that they were looking for that intent in all the wrong places. They were looking in the common sense argument that is used by the township. Well, the law says you look for intent in the plain language of the statute, and that is where appellants would urge this court to find the legislative intent in this case. And then the third rule applied by the dissent is that a specific statutory provision prevails over a conflicting general provision. We've already talked about that. A couple other rules of statutory construction that we address in our briefs that apply specifically to zoning, the interpretation of zoning ordinances, is the rule that the power to zone is to be narrowly construed, not broadly construed, but narrowly construed, and exemptions from zoning are to be liberally construed. We believe that the Court of Appeals decision got that analysis backwards. It broadly construed the power to zone and very narrowly construed the exemptions from the zoning, and we believe that that was error.
Does it make any difference that Milton Township orally authorized this operation in the beginning?
We believe it makes a big factual difference. There was a lot of detrimental.
What would happen if there's no regulation about it. So how does it impact your position?
Well, we've not raised the issue of detrimental reliance or even contract principles. We've taken the position that the statute in this case is so clear that this activity is exempt, that issue has not been addressed, but is just a practical matter, and it's just as a matter of equity. We did have an oral approval at the township level. This process was started with full approval of the township. And actually, that kind of folds into my argument, though, about the absurd results argument that the township makes in their argument. They say that, you know, if you allow this to stand, that you're going to get absurd results. Well, their own zoning ordinances allow for a home occupation. And all we have here is a legislatively approved home occupation for the winemaking industry. We have a legislative directive that the winemaking industry will be protected on even the very small scale. And so it's really no different than a home occupation that was originally approved in this case by the zoning board, but this is just a legislatively approved home occupation that the township has no power to interfere with.
Council, am I correct in assuming that if wine was made only with grapes that were grown on the property, we wouldn't be here?
Absolutely.
So it's the importing of the concentration and the source of the concentrate.
Yeah,
that's
yes,
used,
Your Honor.
Is really the crux of it.
Yes. Approximately 95% of the wine that is produced and sold, and I want to make the point that they're not importing wine, they're importing wine juice.
Right.
And the entire venting operation occurs on property, and 95% of that juice is vented there. I see I've got the white light. I reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you. Mr. Fenimore?
Chief Justice O'Connor, other justices, if it pleases the court, my name is Mark Fenimore, and first I want to thank you for the honor of appearing here today. One of the things that I wanted to start off with is my colleague here, when he laid out one of the statutes, which is important here, either conveniently or inadvertently left out a very key element to our case. He said that 519.21a says that townships are conferred no power for the use of any lands for agricultural purposes, for the construction and use of buildings for agricultural purposes, which include venting. He left out a key phrase which says structures incident to the use of that, which means that there is a subordinate use of those buildings for that. The facts in this case are not in dispute. From day one, they were entered by stipulations. We both have argued the same rules of construction that you guys use, that in all your cases that set up, that you look at the legislative intent, the peri materia, that these things should be done harmoniously and use some common sense. And I think that, as Justice Stratton indicated, you have to look at both of these things in conjunction. And the first thing you look at to determine whether something is agricultural is the definition. Viticulture is included in that. The general definition of agriculture for anything that involves plants or crops says that agriculture, this is important, includes the planting, the cultivation, and harvesting. It isn't simply just bringing things on the property that are agricultural. You have a whole long line of cases, some of which we've cited, were landscaping. You can't just bring in property, plants, and aggregate and store it there and resell it. And then most of your stuff is retail sales. In this case, that's the type of thing that's happening here. This statute says, and you brought it up, Justice Stratton, is that it defines viticulture as agricultural, meaning the planting, cultivating, and harvesting of grapevines. It then says you can market those products and sell those if they are conducted in conjunction with, and more importantly, secondary to production, okay? And in this case, the township, in applying that in 519.21, it says incident to, those things make those things subordinate to. The main thing is that the primary use of property to take advantage of the prohibition of zoning has to be, the primary use has to be the agricultural use. The other thing that I disagree with council indicates is that 519.21 is a specific statute for the winemaking industry, and that you can compare it to Section C that sets it up for farm markets. That is not true. 519.21a, as you read it, is a very general statute because it says it includes the construction or use of buildings for that purpose, incident to, and it says on which such buildings are located, and then it just adds including buildings for viticulture. So it's not a statute that is made up just for vinting. It is for every kind of structure. And I think the intent of this is that you have to be the primary purpose, when you read these in conjunction, is the primary purpose of this land to be exempt under these two statutes is that it has to be for the planting, harvesting, cultivation of its product. Then you can sell it for retail sales. As Justice Stratton indicated, and I think Justice O'Connor indicated too, if you were to take their position, and they are saying what you said they said because they've admitted it in their briefs, they're telling you that if you can put one grapevine that grows one grape, that you can get 1 ounce of juice, you can import hundreds of thousands of gallons of grape juice, put it in there, put it in the bottles to ferment it over time, bottle and sell it, put a parking lot on your property, put up a big winery and have people come. And Justice Kupp, although I don't know whether it was in the record, you asked the question, yes, this is in a political subdivision where houses are 15 to 25 feet apart. The lot that they are on, their brief is incorrect. It is not a 2-acre parcel. It is a 200 by 226, which makes it a three-quarter acre parcel of property to be able to go ahead and do this. When you look at this and you read these things in here, I think you will find that both the trial court and the majority opinion properly interpreted the statute under your rules of construction, properly applied that to the facts in this case, and came up with the determination that it does not meet the criteria because the retail sales and the fermenting and processing are actually the primary use of this property, and because they have a few grapevines on it, it's not going to bring it into agricultural use. I will tell you, in zoning, we get these arguments all the time of the person that wants to put a huge building on their property to store all their collectible cars in a residential area where the building is 10 times as permitted, and they come to the zoning inspector and they say, I'm going to put 2 rabbit cages in there so that building is used for rabbits, I can do everything else I want. This same argument could be used, just as you said, Justice O'Connor, they could go ahead, anybody that has a garden could then say, I have a garden, I raise tomatoes and lettuce. I'm going to open up a restaurant on my property, and because I'm growing a tomato and lettuce and I put that in my sandwich, this makes that whole property agricultural use.
But their argument really is that if any part of the land is used for viticulture, and they're claiming they have 20 grapevines, 12 mm-hmm. of which are producing.
Yeah. 12 are producing at the time.
And the statute does seem to say any part of the land. And they are selling, and the statute also authorizes, as you pointed out, buildings.
Incident.
Including structures that are used primarily for selling wine that are incident to. And so that's their best argument.
It is, but it doesn't carry the day because you have to read it in conjunction with the 501.19 definition, Dr. Donald, that says that anytime you sell agricultural products, they still, market or sell, they still have to be secondary to the primary use. Otherwise, every Walmart store, every grocery store would meet the criteria based upon what he said, because they have agricultural products that they bring in, they process. They bring in vegetables that are raw, they have people clean them, wash them, bag them, put them there. If you accept their proposal, what he is saying and what you are saying is right. Any person that has one plant that grows anything on their property can then use that to justify, well, to say that, that we can have the cells of
that's
everything.
That's not really. That may be in the general definition of agriculture, sort of this in terrarium argument that, you know,
sure,
this little thing is, you know, the whole world's going to cave in if we, if, I mean, that's the, it appears to me, and you tell me why this is not correct, that the phrase in 519.21A, near the end of it, which says, including buildings or structures that are used primarily for venting and selling wine and that are located on land, any part of which is used for viticulture, that there's no power to zone, that clause is, in fact, a specific example of what the prior clause is getting at. So that is an example of what the prior clause allows.
No. I think that what it is it's giving it, it's simply including wine as one of the structures that can be put on with its stipulation of any part of it being used. And that is true. But then it has to meet the other requirements when you read these statutes harmoniously, common sense, plain language, impera materia, that it has to be incident to, which means subordinate, and it has to be agricultural,
well,
and it has to
incident,
be secondary to.
Incident doesn't always mean subordinate, does it? It means it goes along with it.
Associated, yes. Yeah, it's associated. But I still think it still doesn't go to the primary, and I think that they're trying to make a case that this is this, that the legislature intended this to be a specific exemption for only the winemaking community, which will allow you that if you use any part, and he admitted that if you want to take the plain language, any, it does mean one grapevine. And I just think that if you use common sense and what the intent would be when you read what they're really trying to do, and the legislature, what they're trying to do, we all know that agriculture is the largest gross income that comes to the state. We are still an agricultural state regardless of all the steel mills and manufacturing that would be here. And obviously we do want to protect our agricultural base. But I don't think that this was meant to allow these type of enterprises to go on where they're bringing all their stuff off lot, and you can go into a subdivision where there's houses.
That, if yes, Your Honor. If it's that kind of a snowball effect you think is going to happen here, and we're going to have Walmarts and restaurants, et cetera, claiming protection under this exemption, the legislature can deal with that.
I don't think, maybe I'm overstating the snowball effect, because mostly those kind of businesses actually go into commercial areas, they apply for the proper permits.
Exactly. So I'm saying if we've got an influx of impermissible uses, and when I say that, stretching the application of these exemptions to the point where it's truly contrary to the policies as identified by the legislature, can't they just deal with that in the legislature?
Absolutely, Your Honor. If this were to become a problem that would become, I don't want to say maybe out of hand or maybe not what they intended, they certainly could address it. I don't think they have to, because I think if you read the two sections that are quoted, and you look at the interpretation, I think they have adequately protected everybody. Because if you look at what the trial court's interpretation of the statute was using your rules of construction, the majority of the 7th District Court of Appeals interpretation regarding your rules and how they applied it to the facts in the case, they did come out with the right result. And the key still is always going to be in any agricultural use that the cultivation of some type of plant or some agricultural activity, the nurturing of cattle or whatever, that has to be primarily what you're doing. And then the retail sales of that or marketing on the same premises has to be secondary to or incident to, which is at least somewhat subordinate than simply being equal to that.
So in your mind, they need to produce 51% of their grape juice on premise in order to be able to take advantage of this exemption?
I don't know that you can pick out just a number and say it's 50. I think that you have to be able to show that primarily they're using the property to grow grapes, and that's what they're really using the property for, and not for retail sales and marketing. Obviously, 51% would be similar to what the other statute does when you're talking the farm markets, where you have to have 51% of the revenue at least comes in, not so much to do that. But yes, certainly, I think it's a common sense thing when you look at it and you say, what are they really doing on this lot? Are they actually just bringing things in, fermenting it, and then selling it and having a couple grapevines there to say it's agriculture, or is this really the winery that you see that we see around the state of Ohio, which is on rolling acres? They have 20 acres across the street that have nothing to do with this case, which certainly they could do that because it's big enough, and once those grapes mature. I cited a case in the brief.
And they have vines on those 20 acres.
I don't know whether they do or not. They did sharecrop them and started to plant them. I do believe it takes 3 years before you can actually use the vines because they have to pinch them and cut them back.
Is that zone commercial?
I don't know, ma'am, what that is zone. I don't believe it's zone. I don't believe it's zone commercial. I think it's zoned agricultural at that point.
But the statute doesn't really distinguish between large wineries and small wineries in any way, does
Absolutely
it?
Absolutely not, no.
And the industry standard, I mean,
right.
I understand your position, but the industry standard for small wineries, I think I read in one of the briefs that it's typical for importing to occur for small wineries, and that's how the operation occurs.
Actually, in conversations I've had with people in the industry, man, that is actually true even in the largest ones, because even whether you're in Napa Valley, you're in Missouri, you're in New York, Ohio is actually the fourth producer of wine. Not any one area has the conditions to grow all grapes. So if you want to have a winery, then of course you can go ahead. You have to import it if you're going to carry all bottles of wine.
So if the statute doesn't distinguish and just says viticulture, and this is within the industry standard, we don't have anything that says 51% must be grown on site.
No, but the definition of agricultural says that it has to do with the cultivation, planting, cultivation, and harvesting. What we're talking about is bringing in grape juice that was not grown, not cultivated, and the vines not planted on that property and brought in. As my time's running short,
let me just pick up on that point quickly, if you would, Mr. Fenimore. What I'm confused about is it says that the township may not engage in the zoning on land in which buildings or structures are located, including buildings or structures used primarily for venting and selling wine.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say anything about importing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if this is used for venting and selling, there's nothing about the origin of where that selling comes from.
And in that section, Your Honor, I would agree with you. It's 100% that's what that says. But I believe, again, you have to read it in conjunction with 519.01, the definition, which says in order to get the exemption, you have to start off with it has to be agriculturally pure, okay? And that means planting, cultivation, harvesting of crops. That's the crux. You have to hit that first before any of these other statutes applies.
You're saying that the selling is secondary to the production.
Exactly.
All right.
Okay. Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Thank you.
I appreciate your time today and your consideration.
Thank you. Mr. Pennington, you have a minute and 45 seconds left.
Mr. Pennington,
thank you, Madam Chief
Justice.
The concern
I have is you want us to, you're arguing a general, you know, a specific controls of the general, but you're talking about an exemption. And you do have to start with the definition to get to the exemption. So what is the definition of agriculture?
The definition of agriculture is in 519.01 and specifically includes viticulture. There's no dispute that engaging in viticulture is agriculture.
Now, I don't dispute that, but the definition of agriculture is what?
The definition of agriculture is as it is stated in 519.01.
But what is that? What's your understanding of that?
My understanding is that is the, it includes growing of crops, animals, husbandry, viticulture, crops and animals.
Growing of crops, and it allows a building to be incidental to that. That's part of the that's part of the definition itself. That's where we start, is it not?
That is part of the general definition of agriculture,
correct.
And
then what you're saying is this is an exemption. So we have to construe an exemption to the general definition, whereas you want us to have the exemption control.
What I'm saying is that the exemption stands on its own without regard to the general definition of agriculture, with the exception that we're talking about viticulture. It stands on its own.
You only get an exemption if you have a definition to start with.
Okay. It comes under the definition of agriculture because we are dealing with viticulture. They're engaged in viticulture. They've got the 20. So that's an agricultural use, okay? But for purposes of zoning exemptions, you are exempt from zoning if you are engaging in viticulture on land and you construct buildings on that property that are used for the selling and venting of wine. Those buildings are exempt by the plain language of 519.21.
And
counsel, what I'm saying is the specific is not subordinate to the general definition.
Are you classifying then this operation as agricultural based on the presence of the grapevines?
Yes.
That's how you get to the be included in 519.01 initially is,
yes,
because of those 20-some grapevines that are on the land. And if you then are classified as agricultural, then you are allowed to use the exemption that you've identified. So that's the relationship between the two statutes.
Yes, and there's another distinction, though. You have to distinguish between the definition of agriculture in 519.01 and the definition of an agricultural use under 519.21. You will see that 519.21 does not talk in terms of agriculture. It talks in terms of exempt agricultural uses. And generally, it relies upon 519.01 to define agricultural uses, but it adds two specific agricultural uses that are exempt: winemaking and farm markets.
Can I ask you about the building? Is the building used primarily for the venting and selling of wine?
I just wanted to grab the opinion. The reason we didn't bring that up is because the dissenting opinion states, as a matter of fact, as a finding of fact, and it's undisputed, that the building that we're talking about is referred to in the opinion as the main building, and it is primarily used for vending and selling wine. That was the dissent's finding.
Thank you, Mr. Pennington.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Marshall, will you call a recess, please?